You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It should be investigated immediately, today. He should be questioned under oath, if not with a polygraph test, whether it happened. If it happened, he should be immediately relieved of his duties and court-martialed. You have to find out if it's true. This is innuendo and rumor and propaganda, perhaps. But if it is true, absolutely immediately needs to be removed. We have elections. We can't have generals overturning elections. That's what we have always criticized in authoritarian regimes where the military takes over. This is very, very dangerous. And if this happened, Milley needs to be immediately removed of his command.
If it happened, it's treason. This is September the 15th, 2021. That is Senator Rand Paul talking about General Milley. A new book out that is, of course, now I want to caution you on this. Any book that you suddenly are going to grab onto and say, see, here's all the proof, here's everything. If you're just going to accept it face value, not question it, then you have to accept all books the same way. Or you should. If it's a book detrimental to Trump, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're going to accept a book that's beneficial for him all the time, and comments made that only give one side, then you probably have to consider, do I give the same weight and balance to the other? That doesn't mean on face value one way or the other, but you've got to make discerning decisions on which ones you believe or don't. This book is another one by Bob Woodward, along with Robert Costa, and they claim that Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, made calls during the January 6th event and told China, if Trump plans to launch an attack against you, I will let you know early. Apparently, Milley held two secret phone calls with his Chinese counterpart 4 days before the 2020 election, and after January 6th, to reassure him, the U.S. would not attack China, but if we plan to do so, I will call and let you know. Now, if that happened just like that, that is clear treason. The definition of treason under our Uniform Code of Justice, treason, sedition, subversive activities, whoever owing allegiance to the U.S. levies war against them, or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the U.S. or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death, or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years and fined not less than $10,000 and incapable of holding any office of the U.S. Now, we're a far, far way from proof of any treason simply by a book. But already President Trump is castigating the former chief's staff, Milley. In fact, in his statement, Trump said, if the story, and I'm going to read the way it's written, folks. Trump's statement, if the story of dumbass General Mark Milley, the same failed leader who engineered the worst withdrawal from a country, Afghanistan, and U.S. history, leaving behind many dead and wounded soldiers, many American citizens, $85 billion worth of the newest, most sophisticated equipment, so forth and so on. If true, he should be tried for treason. But again, this is just a book. You put some sensational things in a book, you're going to sell it. I could write a book you'd read cover to cover. I can. I will title it simply with your name, the story of, and put your name in it. You'll want to know everything I wrote about you. This one we need to wait and see. The Afghan issue, we still have a lot of questions to be resolved. How many Americans have we left behind? How did we make such a debacle of what was supposed to be a perfectly executed decision to move out Americans and our Afghan supporters and then the military. There are more questions on that. And there are also questions if we're not allowing Taliban terrorists to mix in with the Afghans that we're bringing to the States. And apparently Secretary of State has already acknowledged we might actually be bringing child brides as well. 13, 12-year-old girls that are brides of the men they're with, not their father. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your family and friends know we're on the air. You don't want to miss any of it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We don't have any documentation. We can't prove that family units, I mean, they can do DNA tests, but unfortunately, these people are just being allowed to leave the cantonment areas. They can just get up and walk out. And that's from multiple sites, not just Pickett. And they're not tracked. They're not accounted for. We have no way of knowing who they are. And we've had talks with people who are saying they know Taliban is in some of these flights. So this is one of the greatest security risks this nation has ever had. And this president and State Department don't seem to care.
They don't seem to care. They don't seem to have a handle on it. In other words, they're absolutely clueless. And you, my friend, you and your family are in jeopardy. Those are the words of Congressman Green. Mark Green, Republican of Tennessee. They're talking about the Afghans being brought to the country. Now, let's be very clear on something. When we made promises to those in Afghanistan, if they would help us either as interpreters or in other ways to help our forces, help protect us, even fight and help us while we were in the country for 20 years and we would make sure we would take care of them. We would not abandon them or their families. You make a promise like that, you not just need to adhere to it, you must adhere to it. And many Afghan interpreters were relying on that because they knew if the Taliban ever got back in control, they would be coming after them and their family. And there are already numerous stories of that coming out of Afghanistan, even as I'm speaking. I'm looking at one story that just got released today. This one's Taliban executing an Afghan sniper in front of his family. That's right. They bring his family to watch it. They're going to execute him. The Afghan sniper serving with the Afghan army had been trained by the British. Not us, but either way, got left behind. That meant that if we're going to tell people that if you will stand with us, we will stand with you, that will undercut us for decades to come when we're trying to do something to help other people. Because how can they trust us? How can nations trust us if that's going to be the approach, the way we pulled out of Afghanistan? And, of course, keep in mind, we got a lot of Americans still there, too. I want to get into that as well. That is critical. But right now, according to at least one group, the Center for Immigration Studies, that the number of Afghans living in the U.S. has shot up to 133,000 in 2019. That was more than three times the 44,000 who lived in the U.S. before the start of the Afghan war in 2001, following 9/11. California is still the home of the largest Afghan population, 54,000. 24,000 in Virginia, 10,000 in Texas. That is all based on numbers of 2019, not the numbers we're bringing in now. And we're not getting any clear numbers of who we're bringing in, how many, I should say, and where they're going. And I do go back to that point. Who are we bringing in? Are we actually vetting them? There have been reports that there are dangerous Taliban terrorists mixed in with these Afghans, and that question got raised on CBS News to Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas.
We're dealing with very, very few people that have given us any cause for concern.
The Taliban, when they took control, released thousands of prisoners, including members of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Can you guarantee that none of those prisoners are making their way into the United States?
I can guarantee you that we are doing everything possible to make sure that they don't.
That is such a BS answer from the top to the bottom. I will guarantee you we're doing everything to make sure that we don't. No, you're not. No, you're not. Let's start with the fact they're not vetting them before they even put them on the planes to bring them over. Well, they want to get them out of Afghanistan, Larry. I mean, aren't you for that? We're going to get them and, you know, obviously our Americans out and just get them out of Afghanistan. Fine. But you don't have to bring them right to the States. We've already got staging bases set up at various locations, Qatar for one, Germany for another. We go there. Then we vet them before we put them on another plane and bring them to the States. And that's part of the point being raised by a Congressman Green. Mark Green, Republican of Tennessee.
We don't have biometrics on a good portion of these people, and we can't really get information from state because they won't provide names. They won't provide any information on the people, the numbers that they have. They won't even tell us how many American citizens they evacuated. We tried to get that number, requested through the National Defense Authorization Act the other day, and I couldn't get that passed. It's just crazy. This State Department is a complete failure.
Complete, underline, complete failure, all caps. The same question got raised with the Secretary of State, Blinken. What are you doing to make sure that these Afghans you're bringing in, and I hope you hear me clearly, if they helped us and their family, we want them to at least be free of Afghanistan. Whether or not they all have to come here is another issue. Just get them out of Afghanistan, away from the Taliban. And for those who come here, I want to make sure that they've been properly vetted and they are not here to wage jihad inside our nation. That's the whole key here. If we're not properly vetting them, we don't know who we're bringing in. Of course, we still have the southern border issue, don't we? They're coming across the border on a continuous basis. We're not really vetting many of those either, seldom giving them, if ever, COVID shots while we demand the nation has to be under lockdown pretty much, and you must have a COVID shot by the presidential mandate, which is not constitutional and going to be challenged, already is. We'll get into that later in this hour. But we're not sure who's coming across our southern border. We have already identified over recent months numerous who were, they're not from Mexico. They're not from the Northern Triangle. Some obviously from Cuba. They want to get here and they want to get out of Castro country and they can't simply come across the water because Mallorca said, don't come here by water. You'll be turned back. It's too dangerous. In other words, get to Mexico, travel with the drug cartels. That should be safer for you, I guess. So we're bringing, not just allowing the southern border people to come across, which we're doing, but now we're air transporting people from Afghanistan into our country, and we haven't vetted them. Oh, no, no, no. Secretary of State Blinken says, oh, no, no, no. We have a way of doing it.
In our effort to get as many people out as fast as we can, while we had the airport functioning, we focused on doing just that. And we're doing accountings on the back end as people arrive in the United States.
As they arrive in the United States on the back end, there is no semblance of any common sense. None. I suggest, based upon this kind of approach, the TSA just let everybody go and board the plane. After you're on the plane and it takes off, then we'll decide if we're going to check you, see if you have any guns or weapons on you. How about that? Why not? Everybody from now on, no more metal detectors. Don't take off your shoes, anything else. Carry whatever you want. Get in the plane. And after the plane takes off and we're in the air, then we're going to come down passenger to my passenger and ask to see whatever you got in your pocket. And stupid, right? And dangerous. And then we got this issue that, again, Congressman Green, Republican of Tennessee, points out, at various camps and places where we have placed Afghans, there was a report on this the other day out of Wisconsin. But not just Wisconsin, it's happening at other locations. Some of the Afghans just simply decide they, I don't know, want to do a walkabout, see the U.S., or they just want to go somewhere else, or maybe they came here under the guise of being a U.S. supporter, but now that they're inside their country, they're meeting up with contacts. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just raising the question because Congressman Green says apparently they can just kind of, it's easier for them to get out of one of these facilities than it is for you, an American citizen, to get on a U.S., to get on a commercial flight inside the states.
They're letting them leave. They can catch an Uber and actually leave the base. They don't know exactly how many are even there, so they can't account for someone if they don't return. And they're telling the people, oh, if you go and you don't come back, well, that will end your visa processing. But if they want free, they're gone. There's nobody keeping them from leaving.
That is pretty much replicated by what we're seeing at the border right now with the Biden administration. Simply bringing them in and giving them, because there's so many of them, just going to go ahead and give them some paperwork, say sign this, and then you'll come back and we'll have a full hearing on your asylum if you have a request for asylum. And of course, there's been a report that the Trump administration rule that was in place, remain in Mexico, is slowly being re-implemented by the Biden administration because they realized, that was a good program. They don't want a lot of publicity for it. If they do, they want to say, we came up with the idea. There's a Republican study committee that is saying there's another issue we have going on here with all these Afghans coming in. That the Biden administration wants tens of thousands to be brought quickly here, and he wants them to quickly be able to apply for permanent U.S. residency. There's a memo. Chairman Jim Banks, in the memo, taking aim at language for, quote, riders included by the White House in a continuing resolution. It's titled The Dems' Dangerous Open Border Plan for Afghanistan. The memo says those riders include 6.4, by that they're talking about legislative riders, $6.4 billion in funding for Afghan refugee resettlement, and language that would give any unvetted Afghan national, unvetted Afghan national, flown into the U.S. between July 31, 2021, and the end of the next fiscal year, lifetime welfare, and a path to citizenship. Wow, you know, some of those have been fighting to come across the southern border. Think, how do I get to Afghanistan, get on one of those flights going direct to the U.S. on a U.S. plane, and I'll be able to become a citizen quicker, and I will get lifetime welfare? That would mean any refugee who entered the U.S. in recent weeks would be eligible for a green card by this time next year, and then could apply for U.S. citizenship shortly thereafter. And, of course, we still don't have full background checks and screening. Apparently, that's not a big deal anymore. Well, it should be, because that's the whole point of this Republican study committee, saying we need to be very careful about where we go with this. We are a nation of immigrants. Immigrants who come here want to be part of this country, bring some of their culture, share it with us, make us a richer nation. And these coming in by plane that we're bringing in, they are true asylum seekers. But the warning is, if we're not careful, we're going to open our borders to a Taliban-run nation. It's as simple as that. I want to deal a little bit more with General Milley and the book claiming he talked direct to China. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's some good news. First Crypto World is now open in St. Charles, the first brick-and-mortar store where you can learn about cryptocurrencies and buy crypto merchandise. First Crypto World also has 3D printing services. In fact, I'm getting some promotional items printed. 3D. Get full details at firstcryptoworld.com. firstcryptoworld.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If you're calling up our adversaries and saying, we think the president is such a loose cannon that he might bomb you, that actually puts them on red alert. And actually, if there happens to be, which there are instances where there are false warnings of attacks and we have to talk to each other, if we have a general calling China and say, our president is liable to unleash nuclear weapons on you or unleash attack on you, that makes any kind of accidental war even more likely by him ginning up the game. It's a terrible thing, very dangerous. But just by defying the chain of command, it gets outside of what we have as a constitutional republic.
And on top of that, again, if it happened as it's reported in the latest Bob Woodward book, it's treason. If General Milley, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was calling China leaders, according to the book, according to the book called Peril by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, Miller held two secret phone calls with his Chinese counterpart 4 days before the 2020 election. And after January 6th, to reassure his Chinese counterpart, the U.S. will not attack China. And if we plan to do so, if we start to do something, I will alert you immediately. That is treason. If it happened, as is reported. Well, of course, you're going to hear the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, deny it. But Senator Rand Paul says, we got to look at what's at stake here, if it happened. And Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, already calling for the resignation of General Mark Milley. He's in a letter just released urging Biden to dismiss Mark Milley immediately, charging that he undermined the former commander-in-chief, being Trump, by planning to commit treason. Senator Mark Rubio probably should not be firing off that fast simply based on a book. You're going to have more proof and so forth. And even Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, said the book does raise serious concerns. Said some allegations seem somewhat far-fetched to me. We don't want to jump to conclusions, but we'll certainly vet them and see exactly what happened. We're going to spend a lot more time on this in the second hour, but obviously, even though I mentioned in the opening monologue, I want to give a little bit more attention here. I do want to go back to something I was telling you earlier about the vetting of Afghans that we're bringing into the country. And what we don't know about them. U.S. Congressman Chris Smith, a Republican in New Jersey, said following a tour of a joint facility where they have some of these Afghans being housed, he said there is a compelling need, moral obligation to provide immediate and safe haven, but we need to know more, reliable background check on Afghan evacuees, fingerprints, cross-checking terrorist watch lists, public records. Many simply don't exist, but we still need to know who the hell we're bringing in. That is for our national security. But above and beyond that, as I mentioned, if they're going to be coming in like that and you're not vetting them and they're really going to be planning a jihad attack against the U.S. once they get inside, not all of them, obviously, but then you also have to look at what they're doing already. Many of the Secretary of State Blinken confirmed reports during a Senate hearing that many of the young children being transported from Afghanistan with older men are brides. They are brides of the men bringing them in, claiming that this is my child. Senator Cruz said, well, how many? And Blinken said, we're not sure. The vax mandates coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the Arizona Attorney General has already decided we are going to fight. We're not going to simply bow down to King Biden and his COVID vaccine mandates. It's unconstitutional. So Arizona is the first state to file a lawsuit against it. Other states, 27 or so, gathering to do the same. And, of course, we have various companies and other groups deciding to do the same. How constitutional is it and what good is it? And could it have been done a different way? And is this going to help at all? We're joined by a special guest I've had on numerous times before. Always glad to have him. He's got a career in public policy spanning more than three decades. Policy advisor of the White House, U.S. Senate, Department of Health and Human Services. Doug Badger with the Heritage Foundation. Doug, welcome aboard again, sir.
Larry, good to talk to you.
So let's begin, before we break down a lot of other details, the fight that we're seeing from Arizona is going to be replicated by at least 27 other states are indicating they're going to do similar. The issue begins on a constitutional point. That's what they're pushing. What's your view?
That's right. I mean, the 14th Amendment guarantees the equal protection of law and says that the federal government as well as the states have to provide that protection. So the Arizona AG has said, well, wait a second. The Department of Homeland Security is offering vaccinations to apprehended illegal aliens. And about 30% are turning them down, and they're still releasing them into the U.S., even though they know that 18% of migrant families who recently crossed tested positive, 20% of unaccompanied minors. And so they're saying an illegal alien could be released in society and not required to get vaccinated, whereas those who are lawfully present, both citizens and people who went through the legal process to get a green card, can have their jobs threatened if they don't get vaccinated or submit to weekly tests.
Well, then those illegals that don't want to get the vaccine, that they've got to be careful that they don't go to work for the government or one of these agencies that we're told, and our corporations, that they must order all employees to be vaccinated or have substantial reason otherwise. So welcome to America. You don't have to get vaccinated unless you get a job. Then we're going to come after you. This is totally upside down for taking care of Americans first.
Well, it is a questionable approach on a lot of different levels, legally, constitutionally, but just practically. Now, put yourself in the position of an employer with 100 employees. First of all, how do you know that your employee's vaccinated? Can you just take their word for it, self-attestation, or are you going to ask for proof? If it's proof, what sort of proof does it have to be? What happens if your employee gives you false documentation? Are you liable for the fact that that employee wasn't vaccinated? What happens if your employee shows up on Monday morning and says, "Oh, I took a test on Friday. I'm waiting for the results." Do you send her home, or can she work while she's waiting for the results? It's a system. It's hard to imagine how this will go into effect without causing chaos in businesses across the country.
Well, of course, the other key here is the chaos, the full aspect of. You wrote a piece that I was picking up on that I think appeared in the Daily Signal originally, titled something along the line that Biden choosing to use coercion over persuasion on COVID mandate. He just said, "I'm tired. My patience is worn thin, and that's why we're going to do it my way now."
Yeah, it's from the perspective of presidential leadership. It's a pretty dark moment when a president looks at 80 million Americans and saying, "You're trying my patience. My patience is running thin." It sounds like a threat. And what you really should be doing as president is seeking to unite the country. Most of the people who are unvaccinated are young adults. It's not people over 65. It's not people even in their 50s. It's people 18 to 34 who have very, very low vaccination rates. And right now, new infection rates that are twice that of people over 65. Look, these are the guys that voted for Biden. They turned out in unprecedented numbers in 2020. They gave him the largest majorities of any age group. Why can't you try to reach out to folks that disagree with you as opposed to demeaning them and vax-shaming them?
And there's also segregation built in, of the Jim Crow-type law, since the Dems like to throw that around all the time. For instance, if you are in New York City and you want to dine inside a restaurant, you have to show that you've been vaccinated. You have to have proof of vaccination. Plus, you have to have a picture ID. And the latest figures I saw, 70% of black Americans in New York City between the ages of 18 and 40 were not vaccinated.
Yeah, there is the question that I'm sure the administration will have to face at some point as to whether or not some of these policies adversely affect minorities. I mean, you have a lot of folks working in some of these businesses that may resist being vaccinated. And do you really want to threaten their jobs? And if it turns out that you're threatening jobs of a lot of Latinos, a lot of blacks and so forth, relative to others, it seems to me that that would run afoul of how at least the Biden Justice Department understands things.
And the other part of this is if folks do have an adverse reaction to the vaccine, for instance, in St. Louis County in this region, the county decided to enforce a vaccine mandate for all county employees. Then a member of the county council said, all right, if you're going to do that, then we also need to attach to that a $1 million death benefit to any of their beneficiaries if they should die because of the COVID vaccine and our rights to sue and so forth and so on. In other words, the companies that are now being forced to do this, this could come back and bite them the other way as well.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to predict. On the one side, if a company allows an unvaccinated person who hasn't been tested to come into the workplace and other people get sick, they're liable to OSHA fines and potentially lawsuits. And on the other hand, they're not common, but they certainly happen. There are deaths associated with reaction to the vaccine itself. And I would think as employers would want that kind of protection from the government, that they can't be sued by a worker who has an adverse reaction to the vaccine.
So then we look at these folks, you know, they train, they keep their bodies in tip-top shape and so forth. And for instance, NBA players. At the last word, NBA players will not be required to get a COVID-19 vaccination. Not required, but then some stupid set of rules that, well, if you don't get it, you can't sit next to your teammates during dinner. You got to be away from them while you're traveling. I mean, where is the common sense?
Yeah, I think in that case, again, the league is trying to, on the one side, encourage people to get vaccinated, but on the other side, understanding that some of the guys are going to tell them that they don't want to do it. And the other point of that, I would say, Larry, is that, you know, these guys are all unionized. They have a collectively bargained agreement with the owners, and the union has to agree to any kind of restriction of that sort. And that's another question that employers would face with the Biden mandate, if it in fact goes into effect. If you have a contract with a union, you can't simply impose some of these requirements on them
and therefore,
without sitting down at the bargaining table.
And that also includes the Postal Service with 600,000 plus postal workers. Two quick things real quick. Biden said the whole purpose of this is to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. We were told originally, you don't want to wear a mask, get vaccinated. You want to wear the mask. Oh, no, you got the vaccine, you still have to wear the mask. And now the vaccine is apparently not going to work because we have unvaccinated people around you, so we're going to force them to get a vaccine. If it didn't work for you, how the hell is it going to work for them?
Yeah, I mean, the vaccines, as far as, and the president has said that, as far as the research shows, are effective at preventing you against serious illness and death. And so it's odd that if I'm protected by the vaccine, why do I have to be protected from my coworkers? I think I kind of understand what he's getting at, in the sense that with the Delta variant, there is an uptick in cases in certain areas.
All right. One other quick question. I want to get in. And I've cut you short. I'm sorry. About 20 seconds. The whole idea that we're not vaccinating children below age of 12, and yet the word from the CDC is that pregnant women can get the vaccine. They're carrying a child, obviously, younger than 12. Does it make any sense? Yes or no?
I'd have to see the research on that. I know they haven't done enough clinical trials on the kids yet. If they say they've done them on the pregnant women, then maybe it does.
Yeah, but then the fetus. All right. Thank you very much, Doug Badger from the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, frightening, scary stories involving young women. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles, Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
His name, Larry Nassar. For 18 years, he was the team doctor of the U.S. women's gymnastics team. Gave him access to hundreds of girls and young women. And he was sexually molesting, abusing them at different times, and it was proven. And he is now convicted as a sex offender. And some are saying that's not enough for what he got. Larry Nassar had also been an osteopathic physician, former professor at Michigan State University College of Human Medicine. The abuse scandals apparently began in 2015, and apparently he repeatedly sexually assaulted at least 265 young women and girls under the guise that I'm treating you medically. I'm going to do this to make you feel better. It made them very uncomfortable. But who are they going to tell? Who's going to listen to them? They are in there alone with him, which is the first bad mistake. December 2017, he finally pled guilty to some child pornography and hampering with some evidence, 60 years in federal prison, then later another 40 to 175 years after pleading guilty to 7 counts of sexual assault of minors and additional charges later on. But here's where we are today. Simone Biles and other gymnast, Maggie Nichols, appearing before Senate Judiciary Committee today. Very difficult for them, I'm sure. But they're there because the Justice Department Inspector General's report revealed how the FBI failed to act on their complaints when they did begin to make complaints. And he was able to continue abusing women for years afterwards. Simone Biles said no one at the FBI or the U.S. Athletic Group, or USA Gymnastics, I should say, did what was necessary to protect us. And she said, in looking at the report, the FBI turned a blind eye to us, went out of the way to protect the USA Gymnastics. She says a message needs to be sent. If you allow a predator to harm children, consequences will be swift and severe. Enough is enough. This is not going to add any more time to Nassar at this point. But we are told that already some FBI agents are under question and maybe being fired and being removed, and that there are questions about former FBI Director Christopher Wray as to what he knew and when he knew it. And I know parents that subjected their children to that, put them with that man, that's a burden they carry, and I feel for them because they thought they were doing what was best for their children. In Ohio, a mayor is telling all 5 local school board members, you have to resign or you're going to face charges of child pornography. He said, it's come to my attention, educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography in our classrooms. I've talked to a judge. She's already confirmed that's what this is. I'm giving you a simple choice. You either choose to resign from this Board of Education or you will be charged. And the audience was cheering him. This is a Hudson, Ohio mayor talking to the school board members. What did they do? What was being distributed? Some were in a book called 642 Things to Write About, which had been given to some high school students. at one point asking students to, quote, write a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom. Rewrite the sex scene from above into one that you'd let your mom read. And then there were other things that parents were saying are disgusting and kind of a grooming, preparing young people for sexual predators. The very kind of thing Larry Nassar was doing. He's just one example. There are many great, confident, competent athletic trainers throughout the U.S. at local, city, county, state, national level. And they truly care about their children and looking out for their welfare. But in the midst, there are probably some who are looking for an opportunity to prey upon children. Be careful. Listen to your children. Stay with them. In the next hour, more focus on General Milley. Did he warn China that I'll let you know if Trump's going to fire a missile at you? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.